This is your KBNF Regional Newscast for Thursday, December 18th. I'm Lisa Young. Delta City Councilors recently approved its 2026 citywide budget, despite containing a $1 million deficit. According to reporting in the Delta County Independent, the shortfall has been cut from $3 million in recent weeks. The city's $53 million budget includes over $13 million in grant funding projects, including its Main Street renovation plans. Significant and immediate savings included no cost of living increases for 2026 and having employees cover the 5.5% health care premium increases. The city also cut roughly $600,000 by eliminating 8 full-time employee positions. You can find more on this story at DeltaCountyIndependent.com. In state water news, the U.S. Senate has passed the Finish the Arkansas Valley Conduit Act and is sending it to the president. Republican Representative Lauren Boebert introduced the bill in the House and is happy that the end could be in sight for the decades-long water project. Democratic Senators Michael Bennett and John Hickenlooper pushed the bill in their chamber, as well as securing hundreds of millions of additional funding through the bipartisan infrastructure law. In education news, there's a new report that shows that many charter schools are not helping students, but are actually undermining Colorado's public school system. Eric Galatis has the details.
Charter schools were originally launched with a promise to create nimble, teacher-led, and community-driven laboratories of innovation for public education, but a new report details how that promise has been steadily weakened by state laws, shaped in large part by the lobbying power of corporate charter chains that prioritize rapid expansion and less regulation over quality, oversight, and accountability. Mike DeGeer with Advocates for Public Education Policy says that policy shift has produced predictable results: fraud, mismanagement, abrupt closures, and significant charter churn.
Charter schools are not meeting the needs of students as they were originally intended, and there's significant changes that need to be made to state laws to fix what's broken with the charter schools.
Last year, a bill that aimed to create more accountability for charter schools in Colorado was killed in committee after public opposition by Governor Jared Polis, who has launched his own charter schools, and intense lobbying by Americans for Prosperity, the flagship political arm of the right-wing network formed by the billionaire Koch brothers. HB 241363 was in sync with many recommendations in the new report, Charter School Reckoning Part 2 Disillusionment, and was supported by the Colorado Teachers Association, the Colorado PTA, the League of Women Voters, and others. Under current law, charter schools are publicly funded but privately governed. In most cases, their boards are self-appointed, not elected, and are exempt from conflict of interest laws that apply to public officials. And at a time when public schools are underfunded, DeGeer says corporate chains and companies that provide payroll and other services are making huge profits.
And this is a problem when we're talking about taxpayer dollars not being used to meet the needs of the students. And there's no oversight, there's little regulation, there's less transparency for what's happening with charter schools.
DeGeer worries that if they're left unchecked, charter schools, alongside controversial voucher programs that siphon tax dollars into private schools, will lead to a wholesale privatization of the public school system. While a handful of charter schools still reflect the original vision of the movement, DeGeer says they are the exception rather than the rule.
There are some small mom-and-pop charter schools that are doing good work, but the ones that have been taken over by the charter networks and that are being run by these corporate entities are hurting the entire system, and they're hurting the public school system.
This is Eric Galatis for the Colorado News Connection.
There's a perception locally that if you're looking for training to get into the workforce without a four-year degree, you'd likely have to move out of town. Randall Palmer is the executive director of the Technical College of the Rockies in Delta, and he's working to change that perspective. KVNS Brody Wilson recently spoke with Palmer in Studio M.
The Technical College of the Rockies sits just south of Delta. And if you think you know what a technical college is, think again. This is a school built around one idea: training people for jobs that already exist here on the Western Slope, jobs that are in demand, and jobs that don't require leaving the Western Slope to get a higher ed degree.
Oh, well, I appreciate the opportunity. It's always great to have a situation where we can highlight what we do at the Tech College of the Rockies. So I'm the executive director. I had an opportunity to take on that after spending about 14 years in Delta County public school system, after being in industry for a while, and then coming into the principalship. It allowed me this situation to be executive director of a wonderful college that really prepares students for high-need, meaningful experiences here on the Western Slope. Well, that way the students don't have to leave in order to go get some kind of credentialing. They can stay here because what we try to do is maintain that relevance of what is it that the industry needs, and we figure out what that means, and then we backfill that with some highly trained individuals to put those students who desire to work in the fields that are available here.
The school operates under the Delta County Public School umbrella.
We are an area technical college. There's only three in Colorado, and the other two are located in Denver. This one, because of state statute, we have to be underneath the guidance of a public school system.
Graduates don't earn degrees, but credentials.
Yeah, so we are a short-term credential. So what that means is that we don't offer any degrees. We focus in on what it is that the community needs, and then fashion whatever the credentialed opportunity for them to receive such. There'll be some kind of industry credential. And I'll list a few of those. Allied health, for example, we have CNAs, we have patient care tech, we also have medical assistants. And then recently we just launched our surgery tech program that's been in existence for the last year. And we're about to finish up the first cohort of our diagnostic medical sonography, which, as most people understand, is ultrasound. So all of those are short-term credentials, anywhere from about 6 months to 2 years. We don't have any support from the standpoint of loans or something like that. So our students are going to graduate debt-free.
And nearly everything is hands-on. Students have to prove they can actually do the work.
So we're going to show proficiency in the lab, which almost everything we do is all hands-on. I mean, for example, how in the world could you learn phlebotomy and you've never touched an arm? I mean, how in the world do you understand, you know, how to pass audio and you've never manipulated brakes? You don't understand how the brake caliper works. You don't understand how to torque the lug nuts. The true essence of why we're successful is because we use adjunct faculty. Mm. The faculty work full-time, and then they come in our situation, and they have this mindset of mission over money. Because many times when you go into a situation when you're asking, well, what do I really need to know on this test, teacher? Is this something that's really going to be? And they said, yeah, why? Because everything we teach is relevant. Every single thing that we teach is meaningful for that industry. We're at 20 programs right now.
Okay.
We've added 5 more relevant programs in the last year. We've increased our capacity from when I first started there about 4 years ago. The last 3 years, our enrollment's up 30%.
Wow.
And then in the last, we'll just say the last two falls, so we just finished our fall semester, we're up over 45%. But at the same time, we have to expand. So that's why we're moving. We're almost at 7 days a week, quite frankly. Wow. Morning, afternoon, evenings, all the way through Saturday. But we have a gym here. It's a sleeping giant right in our backyard. I mean, students no longer have to go away. And when they do, they usually tend to stay. But now they can, we'll just look at CyberTech. You can open your window, look over Mount Lamborn, and still provide some kind of service for somewhere else outside of the state just because of that technology.
I asked Randall who their typical student is.
It's actually a wide gamut, but you can start as early as a junior in high school. I mean, you go through the junior piece, you matriculate through your senior, or start as a senior and you go into our post-secondary. But the trick is you technically, if you could walk across the stage and receive your diploma, you can turn right around and get your industry certification and get right to work. You're immediately assimilated into the workforce.
That's Randall Palmer, executive director of the Technical College of the Rockies south of Delta. So the next time you cross paths with a certified nurse's assistant or get your blood drawn or get your car fixed or your hair cut or take an ambulance ride, talk to the person helping you. Chances are high they are a graduate of the Technical College of the Rockies. You can find more information at tcr.edu, and you can also listen to the full interview with Mr. Palmer on this week's Local Motion by looking for Local Motion under the News tab at kbnf.org. For KBNF News, I'm Brody Wilson.
That's your KBNF Regional Newscast. I'm Lisa Young.